welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hello.
And Caitlin.
Hi.
And today, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 9 of One Tree Hill, titled For Tonight, You're Only Here to Know, which, fun fact, is a song by The Distillers. Great.
I've heard of The Distillers.
Mm-hmm. Have you?
Yeah.
So, we open with Mouth giving a monologue about how tonight there is going to be a high school basketball game somewhere in the country. And we see images of, you know, Tree Hill High and kids walking up and down the hallway. And we get to Haley's classroom and everything looks normal as Haley's walking down the row of desks until we see it's a wild Mia who pops up and starts singing her song, It's Only Life, which we realize is actually they're filming Mia's music video. Great.
Ben was thoroughly confused. Is this a musical episode? Also, I understand that the recap is not part of the episode, but did either of you watch the recap?
No.
No.
Holy fuck. It goes all the way back. You see Keith get shot again. You see Jimmy kill himself. You see Keith trying to talk him down, watching Jimmy die. You see Lucas telling Peyton that he loves her at the basketball game. It truly, the way fucking back. Like, it goes all the way back to, like, season one, Mouth and Jimmy with their Raven Hoops t-shirts trying to get into the locker room. And
oh, they're Whitey just going, bringing back everything to yeah. remind us of what they're referencing this episode. Yeah. Wow.
And Whitey going, what the hell are you boys doing here? Whitey is also Minnesotan now, I'm sorry. I've had a half a bottle of wine, and everyone is from Minnesota tonight. That fucking recap was a trip. It was the worst montage. Every bad moment I never wanted to relive was in that montage. And then they're like, here, take this weird, sad episode. Ready, go.
Yes. So after the music video shoot, Haley's like, I gotta go. But Peyton brings up the engagement again to her. And Haley tells her she just has to let him go. Great. Wise words, Hales. Moving on. Mouth is in the gym, nervous about finding the right angle for the story for the segment on the Ravens. And Skills comes by and tells him he's going to do great. He's going to figure it all out. It's going to be just fine because he's Mouth. He'll be great. Mouth isn't so sure. Then Nathan goes to see Haley while she's getting ready for the basketball game tonight. Because if we didn't realize, it is the Ravens season home opener tonight. Yay, first
basketball
game.
Basketball show has basketball again.
Basketball yes. show doing basketball.
Yes. Yay. So Haley's getting ready, and she's very excited because Jamie is very excited. But Nathan tells her that he has to tell her something, and it's about Carrie. But just then Carrie comes in and says she should be the one to tell her that she's putting in her 2 weeks' notice. She was just accepted into a graduate program that she can't turn down. And Haley is thrilled for Carrie and gives her a hug as Carrie looks over Haley's shoulder to Nathan.
Yuck.
This woman really said, I got this acceptance letter, so I'm going to go big or go home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go big and then I'm going to go home.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. So then Mouth comes into Lucas's office and they both talk about how they've been thinking tonight about Keith and about Jimmy. And Lucas tells Mouth Jimmy would be so proud of him. And Mouth says Keith would also be proud of Lucas. And as Mouth leaves, Lucas asks for Keith's help. Then we get the most adorable scene ever where Quentin is getting ready for the game and he's wrapping up his hand and Jamie's mirroring exactly what he's doing, wrapping up his hand, putting on his wrist guards and his sweatbands and all that stuff. And they are adorable.
At the beginning of this little sequence, I'm like, do not let that 4-year-old hang out with that man. Like that is not a good example. But then after they get done taping, Quentin puts the little sweatband on Jamie's wrist. And I'm like, okay, never mind. It's very good. It's very cute.
It was a nice reminder that Quentin is in fact also a child.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I really appreciated that because obviously, like, the situations in which we've seen Quentin so far, it's been him interacting with, granted, adults that are, you know, at most 6 years his senior. But, like, we've seen him at Trick drinking, which right. obviously we saw that from the squad in the earlier seasons. But, or, like, we've seen him, you know, sexually harassing a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, that is, like, and like, doing it in a way that an adult male would do, not in, like, a way a teenage boy would.
Yeah, it's right. the first time we see him act his age and act like really what Nathan and Haley were trying to do to help him out is working. You know, he's reading the book. He's been going to practice. He's been doing what his coaches tell him to do. And it just, I think, is a payoff to kind of see that, yes, he's also really great with kids. And Jamie adores him.
Yes. There is a shot later where he's sharing his headphones with mm-hmm. Jamie. And they're like grooving together. I'm sure none of the teenagers on this show would consider it grooving to music, but I'm 100 years old. But no, that's also a very cute moment. Anyway.
Yes. Yes. Dabbling. Then Peyton and Mia prepare to go to the game as Mia asks, all right, I just need to know the lowdown. Who am I supposed to hate here? And we get a really cool shot of Peyton opening the doors to her office to reveal that they have made it to the gym. And Peyton says, you see the girl with the cheap ass ring showing my best friend? That's who we hate. And Peyton storms off as Mia as she rants about Lindsay stealing all her friends away from her. And Mia asks to go back into the gym because she wants to see the cat fight. But Peyton instead says, do you want to see the place in the library where I got shot and almost bled to death? And Mia's like, cool. Yeah. Party.
Another reminder that Mia is also a child.
Yes. Yes.
And not only that, but like the pop punk alt girl that we all wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And also Mia is one of us just sitting watching the show. Like mm-hmm. she's like, yes, tell me everything. Who right. do I hate? Who likes who? What's going on? Yeah, just mm-hmm. amazing.
Yes, yes. Then Haley comes into the gym to sit with Brooke and Lindsay, but she realizes she forgot her camera to take pictures of Jamie because he's so excited in her classroom. And Brooke's like, ooh, can we come? I want to see your classroom, tutor girl.
And teacher girl.
Teacher girl. She does see teacher girl, right. And so they get up and leave. And Lucas, then in the locker room, gives his best attempt to give a Whitey speech. And I think he does a pretty good job. It's a pretty good job. And he tells them to believe that they are a good team and believe in each other. And he then shows them the brand new jersey that they have, complete with Jamie's own jersey. And the entire team hype him up, and it is absolutely adorable.
Oh, it has his dad's number.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. As it should.
Yes.
As he should.
Yes. It's so good. And then we see the team walk out to the court in a very cool manner. But the coolest one of them all is J-Luke. Is yep. Jamie. As he's walking out in that warm-up gear, complete with the sweatsuit and everything. He looks so good.
And it's good. In slow it's so motion. Cute.
It's yes. the Armageddon entrance.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I would die for that child. I would die for Jamie Scott. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I mean, again, we've said it before. He's the best character on the show. And the only sad part is it took them 5 seasons to introduce him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, his parents had to get the fuck over themselves first.
That's yeah. true. That's true.
In order That's to true. Make it him happen.
Yes. Yes. So then, okay, bear with me because this part gets really confusing. So we'll go this and then we'll pause as we go through. So Haley, Brooke, and Lindsay are walking down the hall. And they go past the library and they see Mia there. And Lindsay's like, oh, there's Mia. What's she doing? So they go into the library and immediately they see Peyton walk from behind the bookshelf. And Peyton is the first to comment about how Haley and Brooke used to be her friends. And now they're really BFFs with Lindsay. And as Brooke apologizes, Lindsay tells her not to, as she's not apologizing for being engaged to Lucas. And then Peyton tells her how she was going to try to be nice. She was going to try and be nice to her, but she's changed her mind. And Lindsay's like, fine by me. And they argue as Lindsay goes to leave and smacks face first into the door. Because we find out there is no handle on the door because they are fixing the doors over the weekend and the girls are stuck in the library.
Lindsay gets some great physical comedy this episode, yes. I will say.
Yes. Yes, it's great. And so immediately then Lindsay starts freaking out because she's claustrophobic. The idea of being trapped is a lot for her. And none of them have cell reception except Brooke, who's like, fine, I'll call Mouth. He's going to come get us. It's going to be fine. Well, she calls Mouth and his phone is in Lucas's office and no one's around. And so it goes straight to voicemail. Peyton then suggests that Brooke calls Owen, but Brooke doesn't want to because it's too early and he's going to use it against her and it's not going to be good and it's not sexy and blah, 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 blah. But the others force her to start to call him. Until her phone dies, and she's very happy about the fact
she
that her phone
died. She is thrilled.
She's like, isn't this great? It's so stupid.
Oh, God.
But it starts, all it does is freak Lindsay out more. So Haley tries to calm her down and asks her to sit down and think of a place that makes her happy. She says she's with her dad, she's in Walden Pond, and the leaves are changing. Great. Calming Lindsay down. We like that. Then Peyton makes fun of Lindsay by asking if Mia is okay. And Mia's like, I'm great. I just didn't think we just I get time to learn more about each and every one of you. And she's like, I want to ask him questions. And Brooke's like, fire away. It's fine. So she starts with Brooke and asks her why she lets Victoria boss her around. And Brooke immediately changes the subject and doesn't want to talk about it. But everybody agrees that Victoria is awful to her. But Brooke reminds them that Peyton and Haley's moms. Well, she says something. She says this. She says the two newbies don't really get a say. And as for you two, meaning Haley and Peyton, you two should know better because both of your moms weren't really around. And she knows that both of them would want to have them back, which is what she has now with her mom. And Brooke tells them Victoria's been with her the last 4 years and helped her create this company to what it is. And the girls disagree because, you know, they say Brooke made it great before Victoria came into the picture. And Brooke tells them they know nothing about it. And even when Haley says a mother's love should not have to be earned by her children, Brooke repeats to her that she knows nothing about it.
The denial is real, real strong here.
Yep.
Denial is not just a river in Egypt for Brooke Penelope Davis.
No, it's not. And it's sad to see after the way that her mother like abused her last week or 2 weeks ago when she was like, I love you, Mom. I'm really glad you're here. I appreciate you. And Victoria was like, whatever, turn the lights off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like but that broke Brooke. And she's still here defending the woman.
Yeah. And you have to think about too, about you know, the high school years where, you know, her mom wasn't even around and that's all Brooke wanted was to have her parents around. Like when they forgot her birthday, right? They forgot her birthday. They sold all their shit out from under her. You know, it's just. So now I understand it because that much neglect is going to be a thing of like, oh, now I'm in your life again. Brooke's going to hold on to that for dear life.
Yeah. It just makes it even sadder.
Then we cut to commercial and we come back. Lindsay is staring out a window and Haley's like, what you doing, Lindsay? And Lindsay's like, I think I can break through this window with this chair. I think I can do it. And Haley's like, what? So Lindsay immediately like she rods the shit out of this chair and like lifts it up, but then immediately realizes it is too heavy for her and she falls backwards instead of throwing it towards the window. And it is hilarious.
It's so funny.
It's so stupid.
The dumbest.
They also established that there is a courtyard that goes to nowhere in the middle of Tree Hill somewhere. In the middle of Tree Hill High. Yeah. Like, I feel like there is a possibility that the Tudor Center and the library overlook this same courtyard.
Well, no, because the thing is, because Brooke does say, like, when they first get trapped, that all the doors are like this.
I know. But even so, even if... Like, because she was.
Oh, if she got out, would they actually be able to get out?
Like, would they actually be able to get out? Is what I'm saying. I don't know if they would.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. So then we go to Peyton, who goes to see Brooke, who is reading her own B. Davis magazine. And Peyton offers her the booze stash she found from the librarian. And Brooke just silently tells her no and tells her that her mom came up with the magazine. And the high-end line and all of the clothes lately. And she says she just wanted her mom to see her. And she finally did with this clothing line. And Peyton says she understands and they hug.
Do you know what I clocked this watch through that I've never caught before?
Is the back cover?
The back cover of B. Davis magazine.
Is teenage model bitch from season three.
It's Solaris season three or season four.
Yep.
Yep, I noticed that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, shit, what a callback.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did this on purpose, but if they did, good for them.
Here's the thing. I'm going to say what it was. It is a photo that they already owned and had the copyright to because of the previous season. So that's why. Okay. Yeah. Because
it's the same photo from the shoot when she was in New York and saw the billboard.
Yeah.
With the girl's face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But I saw that.
Which was also very funny. But I was just like, huh.
Nice callback.
It's almost one of those things where I'm like, I don't think it was intentional. But then they realized what they'd done and felt really proud of themselves.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
At least that's what I hope happened.
It's one of the many callbacks we get this episode where characters come back, but we'll get to that. Then Lindsay is ranting on about how they're missing the game and she just wishes she knew what the score was. And Mia just nonchalantly says, Ravens are down by 5. And they're like, what? What? And they're like, huh? She's like, oh yeah, no, I have the score. I have the internet. I'm watching this. I'm looking at the score online.
Yeah. Let me refresh it. Oh, yeah. Ravens are down by 10.
Yeah. Yep. And the girls finally, they get an idea of like, fine, okay, we can order a pizza and have the delivery guy come and save them. And they argue about what toppings to get because Brooke hates mushrooms, apparently. And it just devolves into more bickering between everybody until Mia starts complimenting Haley because she's like, you know, we're all just fighting and everything. We should compliment each other and make us feel better. And she compliments Haley on the good job she did on her record. And so they start, playing this game and they say that Haley is courageous and kind. And then they move on to Mia and they're like, your voice is amazing. You're so talented. You're great for creating this game. And then Peyton and Brooke compliment her on her lips and her boobs.
They are all just collectively like, Mia's the hottest woman here.
And
I love it.
And Mia literally goes, before this becomes a women in prison film, let's quickly move on. So they move on to Lindsay. And Lindsay's told she has nice eyes, she's smart, and she's classy. Peyton doesn't say anything until they say, Peyton, do you have anything nice to say about Lindsay? And Peyton says she has decent taste in men and this game sucks before she storms off. And as she turns around, Lindsay says that she's intimidated by Peyton. She tells her how meticulously Lucas chose the words when editing his book. She thinks he might still be holding on to her with this. And Peyton turns around and says, which is why he proposed to you, right? Before she turns around again and she says she hates this library.
Valid.
Uh-huh.
Fair.
Yeah. Valid. Very valid.
I would be having some pretty severe PTSD if I was Peyton Sawyer right now.
I mean, yeah. Then, a little bit later, Mia finds Lucas's book and she's ecstatic because she's never read it before. Or, you know, in the other case of everybody else, lived it or edited it.
I don't know how she's never read it. Peyton has 12 copies at her office. She threw them all at Lucas 2 weeks ago.
Mia, I am just envisioning Mia coming into the studio the next day to record and no one has picked up the books yet. And she's like, what the fuck is going on here? Is this
why are
the
there
same
CDs
book?
Yeah, right. Why are the audio CDs just scattered everywhere? I don't understand what's going on. God. Yeah. So she gets the book, so she's very excited about reading it. And then we see Peyton sitting in the exact same spot where she and Lucas hunkered down during the school shooting, and she tells Brooke they changed the carpet. This is where she was, but they changed the carpet. And Brooke tells her she's not going to tell her how to be around Lindsay, but she's used to Peyton taking the high road. And Peyton agrees, but she says she's just sick of looking at her and her precious ring. And then Brooke then reveals to her that it was Peyton's precious ring first.
Bad move. Bad move, Brooke. Why would you give her ammo? Why?
Because I think, you know,
she's trying to make her best friend feel better.
Yeah, because where, you know, we talked, you know, last week about Haley and how she really probably could have extended. Was it last week or was it 20 minutes ago? I'm tired. Either way,
when I last
complained about how Haley is handling this situation, whether it be last week or 20 minutes ago, on the opposite of that, Brooke is doing the right thing. And she knows where her loyalty lies. And she knows, it's like, I think that she just was like, well, it's going to make her feel better. So I'll tell her the story about New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the ring.
Yep. God. And then we go back to Mia, who is still reading the book. And she is shocked to find out that Lucas slept with not only Brooke, but also Peyton and Lindsay. And they're like, but not at the same time. And she's also shocked that Haley's not slept with Lucas. And Haley's like, gross, he's like my brother. But then everyone agrees that Jamie looks just like Lucas.
Yep.
And then Brooke says, she asks what inbred moron is taking so long with the pizza. And then we cut to the pizza guy, who is none other than, who is it, Jesse? Who is it? Who's back? Who is it?
It's Tim!
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Tim is back.
Oh my God.
You're wondering what Tim did 4 years after high school? He's a pizza delivery guy.
Yep.
Get it. Get it, Tim. Get
Which, it. Hey, you know what? At least he's employed.
He's employed.
Yeah. So, with,
I mean, people love the delivery.
He's supporting, guy. And we find out he is supporting his family.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. And everyone loves the delivery guy because you know what he brings? Food. We all love that. We all love that.
He does half of his job correctly.
Yeah.
In case we're wondering if Tim has changed at all, he
hasn't. No. But that's all we see of him for now. Because then we go back to the library and Mia is online now reading comments from her video from her performance at Trick, and she starts to get upset because someone said she looks like she smells like feet. But Haley tells her not to read those comments because it doesn't really matter because she loves making music and that's all that matters. And Lindsay just says sticks and stones, and Peyton then remarks that's funny coming from someone who got upset when she said she didn't like her. And they begin to argue some more and even start to try and fight. As Lindsay says, this will be the second time you're bleeding in this library, Peyton.
Yeah. Yikes.
There are a lot of really, really low blows in this episode.
Yes. Yeah. The Lindsay and Peyton corners are just firing all.
They are. And it was just so funny to me, like not what's happening, but just like it was funny to watch considering that at the end of last episode, Peyton, you know, pulls Lucas aside and is like, I'll bury it. I'll be happy for you. I just want you to be happy. I'll do what Keith did. And then she's like, hey, you're a bitch.
Well, she said she'd do that for Lucas, not for Lindsay.
I know, but you didn't see Keith going, hey, Andy, fuck you.
No, because he was fucking Jules at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Jake came back, I'm pretty sure Peyton would have a different tune right now, but.
Can Jake come back? Question.
Wish.
Question for class. Can Jake come back?
Please? Anyway, moving on. So, as they're trying to break Lindsay and Peyton up from their fight, Tim comes in and announces himself to the library. And Brooke immediately rushes to try to catch the door before it shuts. But Tim thinks she's running to hug him, so he gives her a big hug and lifts her up so she can't run. And the door shuts on them. And they explain the door is locked, and Tim's just like, no, I just went through it. She's like, from the outside, moron. And he's like, okay, fine. Well, if we're stuck in here, who wants some pizza? Extra sausage.
God.
Tim has not changed, ladies and gentlemen.
He has not. And you know that that was the best day on set when Brett Claywell came back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, the man that they were literally like.
They had the
like,
best fucking time. And I love that for them.
Yes. You know, because it's the guy that they're like, just go act like an idiot somewhere, Brett. Go have fun.
Right.
You know, and they got to do that again, which is great. Oh, God. So then we get a quick scene of Mouth at halftime, still trying to find the angle to the story as he looks back at the picture of him and Jimmy again. And then we go back to the library. And as the girls are eating pizza with Tim, Mia asks, what part of someone would they eat to stay alive if they were stranded somewhere? And Lindsay just very nonchalantly, like very dazed, says, love handles. I would turn someone's love handles into beef jerky. You could gnaw on those for days.
It's God. So,
she is so funny this episode. Like the comedy
drunk too at this point.
Yes, yes, yes. I forgot to mention that too, that she basically took the librarian's bottle of booze and she downed it.
Oh, yeah.
They're all drunk.
They're all pretty drunk, but Lindsay is definitely the deepest in.
Yes. And so then they start teasing Brooke about eating her if she died. And she finally relents and she's like, fine, chow down. But when I'm dead, I will haunt every single one of you. And the conversation turns then to ghosts. And I can't remember who says it, but someone says, I think that they still, the ghosts stick around if they've had a, you know, a premature or violent sudden death, which then just causes
Lindsay.
Yeah. Which just causes Tim to ask if they're still here then. And they're like, who? He says, Jimmy and Keith. And we then see Mouth still looking at the picture of him and Jimmy and wishing Jimmy was there because they were supposed to be doing this together. Yeah.
I will never forgive the writers of One Tree Hill for killing Jimmy Edwards.
Yep.
For the plot, I have forgiven them for killing Keith.
Mm-hmm.
But I will never forgive them for killing Jimmy Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, just bringing back Jimmy Edwards just to kill him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because he was back for what, 3 episodes?
3 or 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even. It was like 2.
It was more than that. I think it was 3.
Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They literally brought him back to and killed him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh.
So then a little later, Tim is showing Haley a picture of his son, whose name is Nathan.
Oh, God.
Yep. Yep. Then Mia says, because Mia is the queen of random games to get their minds off the fact they're trapped in this fucking library. She says, my happy place is a snow day in Ohio. Yes, snow day in Ohio. And she asks Peyton about her happy place. And Peyton's like, we didn't have many snow days here. But Brooke and I 1 year did make a killer fort one time. And Lindsay starts reciting the memory from Lucas's book. And Peyton calls her out and says, even though you edited a book about me, doesn't mean you know anything about it. Yeah. Then Mia, also trying to, you know, change the subject, starts playing a melody on the guitar that is magically there. And she's like, I've got this melody, but I can't figure out the lyrics. Maybe we should figure them out. And Peyton to me is like, I think we should wait and do that in the studio alone. But everyone's like, oh, no, 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 no. So Haley gets a turn. Tim gets a turn that turns into a rap song, which is hilariously stupid. And then it gets to Lindsay and Peyton, and it turns into a slam poetry session where Lindsay insults Peyton with her verse. And then when Peyton gets to her verse, she reveals that Lucas proposed to Lindsay with the very same ring he proposed to Peyton with, or tried to.
Uh-huh.
And it gets even worse when Lindsay starts to tear up and cry, and Peyton starts to goad her on and says, you know, oh, are you going to cry, little girl? Are you going to cry? I bet you your daddy's going to make everything okay with this nice big wedding for you and blah, blah. And she just starts talking about her dad. And then Lindsay blows up and tells Peyton that her father died 2 years ago after a horrible battle with cancer, and how she had to be the one to turn off the ventilator because her mother was too distraught. And Peyton is left in shock as Lindsay admits she used to admire the Peyton in the book, and she wishes that she were here, and she storms off, and Haley immediately follows after her.
God.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I forgot the detail in which Lindsay goes into her father's death. Mm-hmm. And also just the acting performance from Michaela this episode.
Yeah.
Like, because Lindsay's all over the place. Like, she starts off, you know, like kind of in a good mood and then is freaking out. And then she becomes comic relief for herself,
mm-hmm,
because she's trying to not fucking panic.
Yep.
And then she's also like trying to be nice to Peyton, and then, but also it's like, no, she's going to be an absolute bitch to Peyton. And then we get this heart-wrenching monologue, and she's like for real sobbing.
Yes.
Like, ugh, I just, it was, again, if this TV show had been on HBO, that would have been a guest appearance nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the fact, the parallel between Lindsay's dad and Peyton's mom and, you know, and Ellie and everything about losing both her moms and everything. It's just, it's heart wrenching to see both of that, that it's like they've both gone through the same thing. And yeah. Okay. Then we get a really weird scene that I don't know why it's there, but it is. So what happens is every single person I'm going to mention here starts singing along while Mia plays a song on the guitar, but they also remember something. So remember, they all take their little verse line and sing along with Mia. So first is Mia's playing her song, and we see Peyton sitting where she, you know, was hunkered down in the library last time. And we see her remembering seeing Lucas after he proposed to Lindsay, then moves on to Brooke, who is thinking about her mom, Mouth, thinking about Jimmy, Lindsay remembering Lucas proposing, and Haley remembering that first family dinner we had this season where Nathan made everything for Haley and said things are going to be better. And they all sing along with Mia, and then Mia finishes the song and it's done. Then Haley goes
to Peyton. I love that song too.
It's a great song.
It is one of my favorites from that album of Kate's.
Yes.
And I love that they found a way to, like, we've talked about this before, how, like, they really, really start incorporating music more and more into the show in season 4 and from now on. Mm-hmm. And I love that they did this and that they, you know, they truly, like, they promoted the hell out of Kate Vogel's career by letting her perform these songs.
Yeah. I mean, she had a really successful career with some singles that hit on the Billboard Hot 100 and albums that were charting very high. And I mean, she was a big deal for a while.
Yeah.
So,
but I love the song and I love what they did with it. And it was nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yep. So then Haley goes to Peyton and explains how when she first met Lindsay, she was still very much wary about her because she was sure that her best friend Lucas was going to end up with Peyton or even Brooke. But then she got close to Lindsay when she told her how she wanted the chapter on the school shooting to be Lucas's best writing because Peyton deserved it, that Jimmy and Keith and Peyton and that day deserved it. And they'd been friends ever since. So then Peyton tries to talk to Lindsay, and Lindsay immediately like starts to run away, and Peyton cuts her off and immediately apologizes about what she said about her father. She admits to Lindsay that she brings out her insecurities and she's the worst version of herself around her. And Lindsay admits the same. And Peyton tells her the hardest part is that Lucas found someone so great with such a big heart. And she tells her it was never her ring. And she was just trying to hurt her. And she tells her that it is, in fact, the same ring that Keith proposed to Karen with before he walked into this school. And she tells her it must mean a lot if he gave it to her. And Lindsay asks her why she's doing all this. But Peyton says so she'll stop doubting herself that she belongs with Lucas. And Peyton tells her she must not be the Peyton in the book anymore. But Lindsay says she is and always has been. And she and Lucas are just not that couple anymore, and that her and Lucas are starting their own chapter. But she also admits that it breaks her heart because she was rooting for the Lucas and Peyton in the book, and they both agree to move on together.
Oh, God, I don't know. So this episode started, and I'm like, yeah, this is going to be fun. We got Jim Jam in his basketball jersey, and we got the Armageddon walk, and we've got Dim showing up with the pizzas, right? And then it took such a hard turn. I was so bummed out by the end of this episode that I'm like, I don't think I like this episode anymore.
I mean, I love this episode because of the fact that it takes that turn and we get a lot of stuff worked out because it's just about the small group that's there. They don't have to worry about everybody else. Everyone else has their own little thing of the game. Yay, the basketball game. But yeah, I love it. So after that, Tim then like stretches, like, all right, I guess it's time I should go back to work. And they're like, Tim, we're stuck in here. We can't get out. He's like, oh, no, we can. And he reveals he knew the whole time how to get out, and he lets them out. And they're like, why did you keep us in here? And he says, because we never hang out anymore. I miss you guys.
That's the part that broke me, though. Like, all of the fucking bummers, the, like, praying to Keith for help, the dead parents.
Mm-hmm. Poor Tim feels alone and neglected.
Turning around saying, no one keeps in touch anymore. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So then after the game, we see Nathan call out Lucas for kissing Peyton while also admitting that Carrie kissed him. And what do they say? What do they say? Jackass, right? No. What do they say?
You're a dick.
Something like that. I can't remember what it is, but he tells him how terrible Nathan tells Lucas how terrible he feels that he, has been lying to Haley and he needs to tell her. And he says,
and Nathan even says, Haley always finds out anyway.
Uh-huh. Yep. And just then Jamie comes up and says, are we going home, daddy? And he tells Lucas that he has to stop being his father and start being the father his son thinks he is. and he leaves with Jamie. Then we get Mouse voiceover again about how, you know, somewhere tonight there's a high school basketball game. But he says it's about more than that. It's about fathers and sons and change. Because there's a whole thing, like, they do notice that they do get, let us know that they did take Dan's jersey off the wall with that. So it's, you can still see the dirt on the wall, which I'm like, can they get a janitor or something up there to scrub that wall and clean that up? Jesus.
Right? Also, like, it wasn't up there that long.
Right?
Because it got hung at the beginning of senior year, and by the end of senior year, the man was in jail.
Yeah.
There's it a was lot up, of shit at best that goes down.
For 9 months.
Yeah. Didn't know it stained a wall that bad. But anyway, moving on.
Well, so there's.
Yeah, that's true. He does leave a mark.
Hey-o.
Anyway, then the girls leave the library, and we, as they all say goodbye, we do see Peyton and Lindsay acting like they're friends, that they're okay with each other. Even the point where Peyton tells Brooke that she needs to go home with Lindsay because that's who you came with. Go. It's fine. Everything's fine. And the last two scenes are Mouth finishing his report on the game as he looks at the framed picture of him and Jimmy on his desk. And then Lindsay finds Lucas in the gym and asks him what he's thinking about. He says he's thinking about Keith, and she tells him that Keith would be proud of him as the camera pans up to the wins and loss record of the conference. And we see that the Ravens won their first home game.
Woo!
And the episode ends. Okay. What did we think of the episode, kids?
I said this, but like, this is one of my favorite episodes this season. It's just the content is like, there's that nice, there is that balance. I, like you said, Brody, like I like it because of the turn that it takes, and it's not the romp that it could have been.
Yeah.
Because we've had a few romps this season already, and it's only episode 9.
Yeah.
So I think it, because we're getting to a point now with season 5 where, like, we're caught up. We know what everyone's been doing for the last 4 years. We know how they're handling it now. We know that they're not handling it for better way.
Yeah, I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know that it's not being handled. We're familiar enough with the new characters like Millie and Carrie and Victoria and even Quentin that it's like, okay, now it's time to get serious.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we going to do about the fact that nobody's handling their problems?
Yeah, we're 9 episodes in, and it's like, we've had the fun romps to introduce characters, to have the fun, to do the stuff. We've had the cute stuff with Jamie. We've had all that kind of stuff. And now it's like, what I like about the episode is that we get all of that kind of in one. We get funny parts. Like, you laugh at the fact that Lindsay tries to lift a chair and falls over, or that she wants to eat somebody's love handles, or that, you know, Peyton wants to take a bite out of Brooke's neck. Like, it's just, it's stupid and it's funny. And then it just, it takes that turn to such serious subjects, because that's what happens in life. You know, it's not like they start off with serious subjects in life when you're having these weird conversations. These kind of things happen, and these shifts in real life happen when people are together. So it's really good to see that kind of turn, and it's very interesting to watch. Yes. Is it a feel good episode? Not really. By the end of it, you're kind of really nostalgic and really, you know, sad about a couple things, but you're also hopeful about a few things. And it's just, it's a nice momentum push for, I think, what the next half of the season is. Cause this is technically not what they'd planned to be the halfway point of the season. Cause obviously they got truncated due to the writer's strike, but this is halfway through the season. We're at episode 9 of 18. So we've got the second half of the season to kind of see where things go, but it's like, last week was the consequences of the week before. And this episode, it's like opening new wounds and stuff and new dynamics of the show and of the characters, because now we've got Lindsay is here. Lindsay's not going anywhere, apparently, because she's engaged to Lucas. Like,
she's got a ring on her finger now.
Right? How are we going to deal with this? Like, when she was just the girlfriend, it was like, oh, okay, great. But she's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah.
It's also interesting, too, like, with this whole concept of being in the library of, like, I don't know what it's like for you guys when you hang out with people you've known for a really long time, but when I go home to North Carolina and hang out with my friends from college, 75% of our conversations are talking about the hilarious shit that happened when we were in college.
Yep.
And yeah, reminiscing on those times. And then but at some point it always, you know, it takes that left turn into where things are now and how things are going and like, and that kind of thing. So it's just like, and even like the love handles conversation, like that was a very like, cause it's like these people are comfortable enough with each other that they are not afraid to get weird.
Yeah.
But well, then it also can go into, oh yeah, we're going to sit here and talk about the fact that Peyton almost bled out in this library and people that we used to love are ghosts and are they haunting the school and all, and also calling out each other on their shit. Like that's how it is when you hang out with a big group of friends that you've known forever and the people that haven't been there forever, like Lindsay and I almost called her Kate, Mia, are literally it, like the new people in the group will sit there and be like, wait, I don't get it. Explain.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my favorite thing too, is because Mia is there, like just a little sprinkle of newness to just like make the fun, stupid games and make it funny and stupid, you know, like the fact she does the compliment game or what part of a person would you eat? And then the music game where they, you know, like, I can't remember, my name's Peyton, fake blonde Peyton, I don't have a boyfriend because I'm a bitch. Like,
yeah,
quality writing there. God. And she's like, I don't smell like feet. Love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We know, so before we started, Brody and I were like, oh, I love this episode. And Jesse made a face. So I'm ready to hear Jesse's feelings.
Yes.
No, I mean, that's it. I think, so we watched last week and this episode back to back, right? And I think it was just a lot of big bummers from Peyton, from the Peyton side of things. And like, no, by the end of this episode, I was just drained. I was just like, it was so heavy by the end of it that like Lindsay's reveal about her dad, you know how I feel when a character that I'm determined to hate becomes sympathetic, you know, I hate that. So like, you know, Lindsay's beautiful monologue about her dad, you know, very well acted moment about her dad. And Peyton's oh shit moment and Tim coming in and being like, no one talks to me anymore. My mean stepmom sent me to a special school for senior year and I don't have friends anymore. You know, like, you know, it was just like, it was so heavy by the end of it. Mm-hmm. Like, even Mouth's monologue, you know, his voiceover at the end, while it was beautiful. And I love that, like, Mouth, even while he is finding, you know, relative success in his chosen career path, you know, is, you know, always remembering where he started with Jimmy, you know, and what could have been. Even that is so heavy, even though it's also the story he was talking about was so hopeful with Jamie and Nate, you know, like, I don't know. I just felt very heavy by the end of this.
And I'll just warn you, there's not a lot of romp. We're building up to the 100th episode because 100th episode, kids, FYI, is episode 12. And this was part of the original plan they had before the writer's strike happened. Everything is building up to that moment with that episode. So don't expect a lot of like a lot of fun to happen because it doesn't. Because the 100th episode was the last episode that they had planned and written before the writer's strike. And then it was only going to be 12 episodes because of the writer's strike. And then thankfully it got resolved with enough time that they could write the last six episodes and finish out the season and what they wanted to do. Because otherwise, if it hadn't, the 100th episode would have been the season finale. So there's a lot that they build up to it. So there's not, I will just warn you, Jesse, not a lot of romp happening until after the 100th episode.
Okay. I mean, and I'm fine with that. Like, I am fine with a dramatic episode. I think this one just hit me in a weird spot.
It's a weird nostalgia bomb that also, like, they don't pull punches with the names they call or what they say. It's like, they're Lindsay and Nate just mean to each other.
Well, and you guys didn't watch that recap. I also
yeah, that's came right. That is true. This
episode, like, it was a minute and a half recap of all of the worst moments of season three, essentially. And so I came into this like, what the fuck am I in for? Mm-hmm. You know, and then they set up this bottle episode with, you know, the girls are stuck in the library, you know, whatever. And then it took that turn. And I think I just had whiplash by the end.
It's a dramatic episode disguised as a romp.
Yeah. Because you see a bottle episode, you see, oh, they're all stuck in a room together. What shenanigans are they going to get up to next? You know,
they're going to talk about their feelings and get really, really emotional and butthurt.
Right. They're going to talk about turning, you know, life support off for one of their parents. Like, yeah, cool.
Or how their mother only pays attention to them when they're successful. Or, yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's like, this is.
Or how, like, you smell like feet.
You know, everyone, there's got to be one in every group.
Of course. It's why we love Mia.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else we want to add about this episode, kids, or are we wrapped up for the night?
I think we're good.
All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us, guys. As always, thank you so much for listening. Do not forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. Rate us 5 stars. It really does help out with that wonderful podcast algorithm so more people can see us. Follow us on social media. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. If you have any questions, comments, and or concerns, or just want to say hi or have any, you know, things you want to discuss with us, hit us up in the Instagram DMs. It's where we live most often, or on Facebook or anything like that. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye.